The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10. And I call this sermon Seal the Deal. Nothing to have to do with gambling, please. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a gambler. And it's about sealing the deal with God. About completely submitting and giving yourself willingly to the Lord. Some of us can hold on to things and they'll cling on to and they're hard to let go. We need to learn to let go sometimes and just walk on water like Jesus did. That walking on water, Christ, it just proves that our faith can be that strong, that you can walk through storms, that you can make it through that trial or that struggle we all go through. I know we all have our battles. We all have issues, personal ones at that. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 28. There's a lot of names I'm going to read here, so bear with me. I have to read them because they're in there. So it's Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 28. And I'm reading God's Words translation this morning. Reads like this. Following people sealed the agreement. That's where I got the topic from. Sealing the deal, okay? The governor Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, Zedekiah, Sariah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pashur, Amariah, Malchiah, Hattush, Shebaniah, Maluk, Harim, Meremoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Ginnethon, Baruch, Meshulam, Abihash, Mijamin, Moazian, Bilgiah, and Shemoiah. These were the priests, and these were the Levites. Jeshua, son of Azaniah, Benuiah, the sons of Henadad, Kadmiel, and their relatives, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Kelita, Paliah, Hanan, Mika, Rehab, Hashabiah, Zakur, Sheribiah, Shebananiah, Hadiah, Bani, and Beninu. These were the leaders of the people. Parash, Paharth, Moab, Olam, Zatu, Bani, Buni, Asgad, Bediah, Adonijah, Bigvai, Adin, Atur, Hezekiah, Azur, Hodiah, Hashum, Beziah, Harif, Anathoth, Nebiah, Magpiosh, Meshulam, Heriz, Meshzebel, Zadok, Jadua, Pelethiah, Hanan, Ananiah, Hoshea, Hananiah, Hashuba, Halosha, Filha, Shobek, Rehum, Hashubanah, Messiah, Ahiah, Hanan, Anan, Maluk, Harim, and Banach. Woo! Aren't you glad we have normal names now? Can you imagine trying to scold your kid? Hananiah, Jakuya, whatever your name is, get over here. These were some hard names. I practiced this all week and I still couldn't get it right. And the verse 28, it goes on. In verse 28, the rest of the people took an oath. These people included the priests, Levites, gatekeepers, singers, temple servants, and all who had separated themselves from the inhabitants of the land and for the sake of God's teaching. Their wives, sons, daughters, and everyone who was capable of understanding also took an oath. So here we are, as I opened up saying that everyone was here again. We've already discussed through this series, through Nehemiah, of course, of building the wall in the temple, and it's all done now. And we also spoke the last time I was up that they had finished the wall and they read the scrolls and people were broken and they knew they had to distance themselves from God. So now here we are. They've already sealed the deal. They've read it. So now they come to the governor, which was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a priestly leader of God. See, if you're a Christian this morning, a follower of God, you can be in a high place. God will place you there. You know, like I've told you before, my life started working in labor in the fields, cutting onions and asparagus. And it's through the years I worked for God, not for man. And I served and served and served. He has exalted me into an office position, not the governor. I wouldn't want to be the governor. I probably have parties with Christians every day. But see, God will raise you up. But you need to stay faithful and committed, you young people. If you're here in church, for whatever reason, young ones, I hope you're here to hear from the Lord. Even those that are in elementary or high school. You know, I was just led this morning to also speak to the kids because I keep coming across these texts where kids are involved too. Little ones, you have a future. Are you thinking about what's up ahead? Are you praying to God, little ones? You can get on your knees when your mom and dad tell you to go to bed. Just real quick, God, thank you for my parents. Thank you for my home. I made it through school. I got a C in my test, but I got a pretty good grade. Thank you. You got to pray to God. And he will start raising you and giving you better grades, kids, young ones, teenagers. And adults, man, come, you need to be praying for your children. Covet them. You were called to that. Amen? And here these people had neglected the things of God. And now here they're saying they're going to seal a deal. They're willing to take this oath. And now they seal the deal and they start to build their lives through God's word. And what did it take after them hearing? Because the people, if you remember back where I started in Nehemiah chapter 1, a couple of teachings back, the people said, Nehemiah, bring us the scrolls, read to us. When's the last time any one of you in your home, you said, Mom, Dad, read the Bible to me. Read me a text, or children, vice versa. Have you told your mom and dad, hey, Dad, let's read Matthew chapter 1, something. When was the last time? This morning, God's going to speak to our hearts. He's talking to you and to me. He wants us to read his word. He wants us to sit with our loved ones and share God's word, at least a chapter or a verse a day. It's important to God. It should be important to us. And after they heard what God had to say to them, they said, yes, we're there. What time's the meeting? I want to be there. I want to seal this deal. And it's time for us to do the same. It's time for us to do the same. We need to start putting our building block to work. God has equipped all of us with some kind of skill or tool. You all have a gift, even if it's just cooking or hospitality or greeting or in your home throwing the trash out, doing your homework, young ones, whatever it consists, you have the gift and the capability to do it. And we are all like a brick for the Lord, and this is what God wants us to look like. It's, you know, you're a block, you can be used. You're just like this block here of cement. That's you. If you're walking with Christ, you're solid. It could be used for many things. These bricks, you can, you know, lift others up. If you're there with Jesus, then lift others up. Help them out. And when we struggle as Christians, you notice this block has holes. You know why it has holes? Because once they lay these bricks, they pour concrete in it. You know what that concrete is? God's word. The Holy Spirit fills you and makes you stronger. This brick is pretty strong right now. But when you fill it with concrete, man, some of you know about construction, that thing becomes even stronger when it's filled with the bars in the middle and the concrete. And this is it. This is what we need. Because a lot of us nowadays can claim we believe God and we believe in Jesus and we, you know, we're just coming to church. I'm sorry if that don't fall. But you can look like this. This is that block. This person believes too. Going to church sometimes. Well, I want to help sometimes. This is you. There's a lot of Christians out there like this. That they want to be built. God wants to form you to be used. But we're looking like this powdered cement. See, when I first came to Christ and I said, Jesus, come into my heart, I was in the rut, man. I was lost. My family was hurt. They were hurt because how I lived, the lifestyle I led. And then when I said, Jesus, come into my heart, I was a bag of powder. And he started working in me. And using me, and I was hungry more for him. Did I go through battles and struggles? Yeah, but then he started forming me into a brick. And then I said, God, use me. I want to be used. And I'd hear pastors at the churches I was birthed at and grew in. And I would say in my mind, gosh, Lord, I want to speak like them. That's why I always mention Jerry and Jeremiah, because I am so blessed to speak next to these men with knowledge and with the love of God. And that there are other bricks that build next to me and next to others. And we make stronger body of the Christ, the body of Christ. The church gets stronger. Your home gets stronger. But if you're home and you're living like this, like powders, just once in a while believing in Jesus and doing your own thing, this is what you are. You're a believer, but you're not quite there. You're not quite formed when God wants to use you. Amen? Love you guys. There's not too much love in the air right now, but Jesus is here convicting us. Because when I started working on this, it convicted me. He reminds me of when I can act like powder and just flake out. See, it's time for us to equip ourselves. Let God use us. And this is what I put. Those who pursue God persistently are those who stay strong. Are you pursuing Him just passionately? Or are other things getting in the way? Are you putting other things first? It's okay what your career is. It's okay what you like to do. I'm a passionate drummer too, man. But I pray every time Victor's starting the worship, I'm saying, God, use me. I still pray, make me a better drummer. He's given me the skills, but I want more. You're never there. You need to keep telling God, use me. Make me a better employee. Make me that strong block as a mom, as a dad. God, make me strong because I'm really going through one right now, God. This is a tough one. And Jesus says, I walked on water. You can walk on water. You're a block. I have fashioned and formed you from your mother's womb. My mother sitting here in front of me in her wildest dreams. Would she ever think years ahead she'd be sitting here in front of me hearing me speak about the God that I would laugh at her, that I would tell her God didn't exist. She would take me to the church and I would just fall asleep and be bored and hate going as a young kid. But she did not stop praying for me. And now look. God gives you wisdom and knowledge, young ones. He'll lead you and guide you on the right path. But you need to be obedient to God and then to your parents and to your husband and to your wife, unto your work. Be faithful. Persistent. Pursuing God always. And you know what? I put this. Because I empathize with some of you, but I am praying. I am reading. I am seeking God, Frank. You don't know. I have been seeking. I even fast once in a while. I do talk with God. How can you have the audacity to call me a bag of powder? How dare you, Pastor Frank? I have been seeking God. And nothing's happening. Give me an answer. I'll give you a biblical answer. Why have you been praying and seeking God and reading and praying and no change, no answer? Because sometimes God can wait, because He is God and we're not. But here's a good one. I'll ask you a rhetorical question. Why is God not answering? How are you treating others? How do you treat others? How do you answer people? What are your thoughts like when confronted? Matthew 25:40. And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. This is Jesus talking. Of course, in context, it's talking about the people that are poor, hungry, homeless. But it can apply at home. It can apply in all those people that live around you. I'm praying and I'm seeking God, but you go to work or you walk around your home or wherever it is you walk around and act not godly or not morally, and you want God to answer you? I'm sorry, but He probably won't. And I take the back, I'm sorry, because I'm going to show you another verse where God does take it serious how we treat others. God is love. And those He loves, He says He chastises. And sometimes these talks are not easy. And they go down like a glass with thorns in it. That was a good one, Frank. That one's for me. Well, guess what? I've been drinking thorns all week too. Because I need work too. I ain't any better than you all. I need prayer. I need my wife. She prays for me. My pastors, we talk with each other rarely, but we do, which we had an awesome meeting this morning. We hadn't had one in a while. We need each other. And the block starts getting stronger. Start pouring into each other's lives, but pursuing God. So why isn't God answering? Because God is serious about keeping his word. This is not in my notes, but let me read it. Proverbs 1:28. God takes it serious. God takes it very serious. Let me find Proverbs 1:28 if you want to find that in your Bible. Proverbs 1:28. Let me get there. God is very serious about all these topics we talk about. He doesn't take them lightly. And I need to read this because it's for some of you or one of you. Because it was for me and now it's your turn. Proverbs 1:28. Look what it says. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and didn't choose to fear the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despite every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own finances. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. It goes on. God takes it serious that we listen to his word, that we listen to our parents, our partner in marriage, that we pay attention to each other, that we respect each other. Because if not, you're like that Christian in this bag. You believe and you follow, but you're just powder. And God wants to use you to form you into this cement block that can be used. So who took this oath and separated themselves to seal the deal? It says in verse 28 that we read this morning, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants. The Levites were a tribe that believed in God since day one. The priests, of course, are pastors. The gatekeepers are people that worked outside in the courtyard. The singers, of course, is the worship team. And the temple servants are those that set up the chair. Pretty simple, huh? That's all God wants. That's all God wants. So some of you are sitting here saying, well, you know what? I don't do any of that, so I'm good. I can just come sit here on a Sunday and just hang out and get out of here when the service is over. I'm good. I don't need to be serving. Well, I think you're a little wrong because it keeps going. It keeps going. If you keep reading in verse 28, look what it says. Who else was there? All people separated themselves. The wives, sons and daughters, little ones. Are you a son in here? Are you a daughter in here? They took the oath, and everyone who was able to understand. There's probably little kids here, 9 or 10. You guys know when you do wrong. You young ones know when you're not listening to your parents. You young ones know when you're doing what you shouldn't. That's who was here and said, God, we take an oath. We want to seal the deal, sign it if we have to. Mom, Dad, I promise I'm going to throw the trash out every Friday. You have to tell me no more or whatever days you do it. Mom, Dad, I'm going to start doing my homework. Husbands, honey, I love you. A little sticky note here and there. Vice versa, wives, put it in the dad's car. Honey, I love you. Have a great day. Little notes. Little reminders that we'll need. Because God takes it serious. So if you're just a wife, if you're just, you don't work and you just do things around the house, if you're just a teenager that goes to school, they were here too telling God, God, we're here. We want to follow you now. We're sorry we messed up. We want to make it right now. We're going to listen to our parents. We're going to try and make it good in school and be successful people because God will lift you up. God will make you successful. But what does it take? How can we be this strong building block for God? Well, I thought of the ABCs. Remember, guys? The first thing we ever learned as little kids, what was it? ABC. We all knew the ABCs when we were little. Do you know the alphabets, son? Yeah, Mom, ABC. And at the same time, we were teaching Mom English because she didn't know much English at the time we were growing up. So she picked up the English from us at school. And she learned ABCs. Why ABCs? Because this is what it takes to be a strong building block for God. First of all, you need a good attitude, behavior, and character. Those are the three things I want to talk about. Attitude, behavior, and character. So attitude. How many of you have an attitude or someone with an attitude? I'm cool. Yeah, I know it. Don't mess with me. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. I got it. I got this. I know it all. You can't teach me anything. Talk to Lamanu. We all know someone like that. We probably work with someone like that. Or sometimes we struggle with that. Attitude, it's important to God. He takes it serious. Look at it in 1 Kings 11:11. We should take it serious as well. 1 Kings 11:11. The Lord told Solomon, because this is your attitude and you have no respect for my promises or my laws that I commanded you to keep, I will certainly tear the kingdom away from you. I will give it to one of your servants. Look at Romans 8:6. It goes on. The corrupt nature's attitude leads to death, but the spiritual attitude leads to life and peace. This is so because the corrupt nature has hostile attitude towards God. It refuses to place itself under the authority of God's standards because it can't. Those who are under the control of the corrupt nature can't please God. You know what, little ones? When you can't listen to your mommy and your daddy, guess what? You're not listening to God. Husbands, when you're treating your wives not quite right, not nicely, you're bending God's law and coming against him too. You're hurting him. Wives, when you're not respecting your husbands, you're hurting God too. God takes it serious. We need to have a good attitude. It's right here. It's simple. I've told you before, and I'll say it to them blue in my face, I try to treat my wife, my loving wife here, like a queen, like a crown. As tired as I am when I get home from work, I still try to meet her needs. I put her first. That's my calling now because I'm married. If you're single, Paul said it's better to stay single because then you can serve God more. So if you're single, I always get these questions. Frank, you never preach about singleness, about people that are single. I get it from both sides, guys and girls, old, young, teenagers. You know why? Because there's nothing on it. That's all it says. Stay single, man. And if you want, God wants, he'll bring you someone. But if you're serving God and he sees a little niche in that heart of yours that you need a partner, bam, he'll put him. Sometimes we get ahead of God. We get that attitude that I got this. Trust me, I've said it before, and my wife knows it. I fought to remarry. I wasn't sure. But he kept putting my wife right there, kept putting her. It was just obvious. I was just trying to turn the other way because I am a type of person, because we're all different. Some of us are made and need partners to hang out with, to do things with, to possibly fight with like some of us do. But it's good for us. See, some couples argue and have disagreements and indifferences because God is pointing out each other's faults. But we put our pride and attitude in the way and we get offended when God's trying to show you your fault through your partner and vice versa. Attitude. My attitude is to serve Jesus with all that I got and take care of my wife. Those are my top two right now. Everything else, however it comes, however it comes. Prior to marrying this beautiful bride, I was always doing ministry because I was single. I had more time. My mom's here. I visited her more. We'd go and eat sometimes. I'd visit more of my sisters because I had time. We'd talk about the Lord. They had questions. We would just hang out. If you're single, stay single. Let the Lord do what he's going to do. But take the good attitude. So what should our attitude be like? What should our attitude be like? I'll tell you what it should be like. It says in Philippians 2:5, have the same attitude of Christ Jesus had. What attitude did Jesus have, folks? Some of you scholars in here, what was Jesus about? Love. What was Jesus about? Serving. What was Jesus about? Always looking out for someone else. What was Jesus about? He didn't care if he didn't have a home or something to eat. Because if you notice through his life, people were always providing for him. He ran into people that brought him food and water. See, we live in a world that we're consumed with things. We need this. We need that. We got to have it. Some things are important. I totally understand. But if it's for a good use, then get it. I used to have a lot of drum stuff. There's probably like 5 pieces missing that I could add to it so I can do more. What for? Do I want to glorify me and show you my showing off skills with an attitude? Or do I just want to simplify it? That's the most simple drum set. I know it's loud, forgive me, but I play loud. That's the most simple type of setup you can have for a drum set. Just small. You know why? Because the rest is done in the heart and then through the Spirit of God. He fills this room when we worship. His angels accompany us, the Bible says, when we worship. Attitude. It's very important, guys. God reads our heart like that. Little by little, he started working in my heart. I started minimizing drums and cymbals. But I'll always play loud. Sorry, folks. When needed. If you notice when I play, there's parts I get loud, but there's parts I have to soften. You know why? I don't do it because I say, oh, the song should be soft. I feel you guys' worship, and Victor just, I watch him, and I can see the Spirit. And slow down, Frank. Soften it right here. I'm going to speak to my people. I'm going to move. And I back off. Attitude. Because trust me, I could take every song and rip it. Just all over. But I only do it when it's needed. Because I want the Holy Spirit to lead me when I drum. I don't want Frank drumming. I want the Spirit leading me to drum. I want the Holy Spirit to speak through me when I'm speaking. And I want him to speak to your heart. The way he speaks to our hearts as leaders. Attitude. I've made it a passion as well to whenever I come up here, I tell God before I get up here the night before, God, let me say what you want me to say. Don't let me go up there for anything else but for you. Don't let me say anything else but because it's for you. And of course, we're going to share personal testimonies because that's what glorifies him and that's what ministers to other people. We need to work on our attitude. Be like Jesus. I had a friend walk in at work Thursday. He walks in, another Christian brother, goes, Frank, what is the best way people can read the Bible? How do you do this? And I tell my youth group, he's a youth pastor in Calexico, and I've been doing youth in the past, and he always has questions. You know what I said? I go, you know what's the best way they can read their Bibles? What are they reading in you? He goes like, what do you mean? Am I sinning? I go, no, your life. How do they see you? Because when you're a youth pastor, you hang out with the youth sometimes or a lot of times. You're around them. You take them on trips, camping trips. But they're watching you. See, folks, this is what I'm trying to say. You are the only Bible. If you believe in Jesus here in this building this morning, you are the only walking Bible that people are ever going to read. Because some people that don't believe are not going to open it. But they're going to see your life, your attitude, which leads to behavior. The second letter in the alphabet. See, the people are reading us that don't believe. They're just waiting and watching. They want you to slip so they can talk about you and badger you and belittle you and just laugh at God, our living God. And you become that bag of powder. So our attitude's important, how we carry ourselves, because then it leads to behavior. Because you can see an attitude, right? What's up? It's a behavior. It shows. It shows. I said it earlier, I could drum more and just my behavior would be totally off. The worship won't be about God, it'd be about me drumming. Behavior. The attitude triggers your behavior. It's important to God. And what does God say about our behavior? And how we respond to others. Look at Colossians 1:21. Colossians 1:21. Once you were alienated from God, and we're enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. I'm glad my mom's here. She will tell you I laughed at her and this God. My behavior was so wrong, I didn't even listen to her. I didn't respect her. I broke her heart and my dad's when he was still living. Because I was doing things in their house that wasn't morally right in God's eyes. So when I left my home at 17, I told them, huh, I'm out of here. I don't need you guys. I'm going to get my own job. I'm 17 now. I know everything. And there I go. Oh, and by the way, I'm going there. I got a girl pregnant. Oh, and on the way there, I got involved in drugs. Oh, and on the way there, as I was living my own life because I didn't believe in God, didn't care of God, and laughed at her God, I got in a lot of trouble. I went to jail. I got violent. I lied to people all the time. You know what my people, my family know about my past the most? I'll tell you, I'm not embarrassed because it glorifies God. You know what they know about me the most? I was the biggest liar and hypocrite. I pray God is speaking to all of us about our attitude and our behavior. But when I came to Jesus, I came to my mom. I said, Mom, I became a Christian. She was so happy. She was so happy. She goes, I don't care where you're at as long as you believe in God now. That's all she cared. How many years was she praying? And look what God's done. Now I know how to love my mom, respect my mom, my sisters, you guys, text you when I can. Love, behavior goes a long way. You're the only Bible people will see. You have family members that don't believe in Jesus like you do? Well, what are they reading into your life? Oh, you're over here doing this, but I thought you go to Remnant. What are you doing here? Wow. What are they reading? My wife knows this now, and my family knows this, of course. The silliness you see me here, I'm the same everywhere. I don't try to be someone else at work. I don't try to be someone else here or out there at the supermarket, wherever I'm at. I'm the same person. I want to be like Jesus. I want my behavior to glorify God. We're at the supermarket yesterday and we're leaving and I ran into a guy that had a Christian shirt. I always have Christian shirts on. And I commented something to him. We became friends like that in 5 seconds. Just talking with Kay, and we start walking away, and she goes, what, you made another friend on the spot? My wife always tells me that. She's right. I want to meet people that know Jesus too. More those that don't. That's why I wear these big shirts, know Jesus or the cross. And when I didn't tell her this. I had this blue shirt a good family gave to me that says, know Jesus, real big. Font 98, I think. Know Jesus. We're at Walmart for maybe 40 minutes, give or take. The minute we walked into Walmart, people coming and going, and everywhere we traveled in that store, I didn't tell this to my wife, 80%, because pastors are always watching. We're always watching. It's like a pastor watching sheep, taking care of the sheep. We're always watching. The whole time I'm in the store, guess what? 80% of everyone that saw me, even from at least 20 feet, they looked at my shirt. I knew some were Christians because they would go like this. I could spot them. I knew the ones that were offended because they go like this. And I knew the ones that were lost because they go like this. You can tell. I had a great time with my t-shirt. And I told my wife, what did I say we were leaving? I'm going to go witness to people. I'm going to tell them about my Jesus. Just with the shirt. I walked around having fun, man. Even shirts advertise for Christ. If I can't tell them, I'm going to make them read it. Because people always read shirts. So they're always looking at shirts, right? You see something, oh, I like that t-shirt. You're always looking at the t-shirts. Anything that lettering, a cartoon, whatever, it draws your eyes. Well, guess what? If that's a tool God will let me use, I'll use it. 90% of my t-shirts all have something about Jesus. No shame in my game. Well, many I can lead to the Lord. I want God to use me. I want to give him the glory. I want to see people in heaven that I thought wouldn't be there. But they're going to run up to me. I pray they run up to me. Frank, I made it in. I go, who are you? You're that guy with that t-shirt. I'm here because I read your t-shirt. It's important, guys, our behavior. And lastly, from attitude to behavior, what does it trigger? Our character. Our character. Godly character sets a good example for others to follow. Godly character will always be evident. Godly character is always evident. I already told you. People see it in you. They know something's different about you. Your character speaks so loud. I always hear it at work that I'm always smiling. I always hear it at work that I don't cuss. You know what? They're confounded. I don't get angry. There's a lot of things that happen in my job that I could just irk up and just flare out with words that I shouldn't say. But I just smile and walk away. I say, Lord, this is a test. A pop quiz, as me and my wife call them. You should use that in your day. You're going to the store with someone and you want to fight and you start a little argument or whatever. Just remember, pop quiz, God's testing us, the devil's tempting us. Pop quiz, God is testing us, the devil's tempting us. And then we're laughing and we forget about it. It works. Whatever works, folks. She'll tell you. She married a clown for Jesus. And I tell her, honey, I'm sorry you married a clown. I'm never serious, only behind the pulpit. Sometimes. That's the joy of Jesus. That's the attitude, and that's the behavior, and that's the character he is changing in me. And I want this joy to flood everyone else. And more on my wife. Because I am to love her. And respect her as Jesus loved the church. Amen? Your character, it's evident. Oh, but bad character is very visual too, huh? Boy, did you see that person in line? Wow, it looks like they got hit by a truck. They must have ate a lemon right now. You smile at people, hi. Oh, they didn't even smile. Did you see them? It happens, folks. It happens to us. We maybe people are all. Or some of those that you see from far and act like they didn't see you. Or we do it too. Oh, there they are. Let's go this way. I'm doing this because it's a Walmart cart. Oh, let's go this way. Oh, they're going through the other aisle. Go all the way around. The other aisle, the other. Let's go to the egg department. We do it. It's important, but badly character is very visual. I saw a movie a while back I was wanting to see for a while. It's called Whiplash. It's about a college with a drummer kid that wants to make it as a jazz drummer so bad. It's a good movie. You should see it. And this teacher of his character, through the whole movie, I'm at the edge of my couch squeezing the pillow. I wanted to wring his neck. His character was so mean to the students. But he carried himself arrogantly. But he was a very great musician, great teacher, but he treated his students like crud. There's even a scene where they're working on a song, the trumpets, everyone's there, and he would stop it. Try it again and stop it. He did like four times, the fourth time. He calls the kid up. Are you out of tune? He's looking at his trumpet. He's scared. I mean, he's yelling at him with this bad, awful character. And I'm at the edge of my couch. I want to punch the TV. And my wife's laughing. Honey, settle down. It just irked me, his character. Through a movie. And anyways, he tells this kid, get out of here, you're out of tune. And as soon as the kid leaves the class, you know what he says? It was you that was out of tune. I just wanted to see if he'd speak up. That's mean. Our character can be that way sometimes. I work with people like that sometimes at work. But we shouldn't let it penetrate us. We shouldn't let it affect us. Because then you're going to be just like them. They'll pull you down, and your character will start smelling like the onions we smelled here all morning from the festival last night. If you smell onions, they brought onions from the festival last night, and my character's been a little off. We all use deodorant, don't worry. It's the onions. How about Ebenezer Scrooge from those Christmas movies? What do you know about his character? He was pretty rotten, huh? Bitter. Didn't care to help people when he could. He was mean. He didn't care about Christmas or gifts or giving. And he had that lemon face. What Scrooge monster is putting a dent in your Christian walk? That's what I put, but I memorized it. That's what it says. What Scrooge monster has been putting a dent in your walk with Christ? What's your character been like? Look at 2 Peter 1:5. For this reason, you must make every effort. You must make every effort. Tell the person you came with, you must make every effort. I'll tell the person to the other side, you must make every effort. Can't hear you guys. You guys need to work on it. We must make every effort to supplement your faith with moral character. Godly morals will give you a good character. I like the word supplement because I work with recommendations at work and I write these forms that the plane spray. I didn't know what supplement meant. And I'm going to use it in that term of an illustration. A supplement is when I have a permit of a customer in front of me, their file, so to speak, stamped by the county. And they buy all these chemicals. And they could only buy the chemicals because they're certified in the folders in front of me. And they say there's a field here called Best 101, which are out there in the fields. And it's called Best 101 sugar beets. And then I get a call and they say, Frank, we want to spray Best 101 for cauliflower with another chemical that's not on my permit. Can you supplement it? So I take and make a supplement, which is of that field, and it combines it, and now they can spray it because the county okayed it. Okay? We are followers of Jesus. He is our permit, our contract, and we are supplements of him. We have signed, or more likely verbalized, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. I want to believe in you now. You're a supplement of Jesus Christ. You're a brick for the kingdom of God. And he wants to fill you with that concrete, but you need to be built up with other bricks. Your homes need to be built up, folks, but you need to fill it with his word. Start filling your bricks with his word, with talking to each other, with telling each other what you struggle with or what you didn't like, nicely, morally. Not, Mom, I need to talk to you. I didn't like that. We get all bent up. Not like that. You can sit down and say, Mom, Dad, honey, we need to talk. Good moral character. It's important to God. It should be important to us. Why is it important to supplement our moral character? Because this can falter your faith and make you weak. Our faith can falter and be weak because maybe our character needs work. Why am I struggling in my faith, Frank? Well, maybe your character is weak. Maybe your character hasn't been all that. You've had those days where you just feel tired and down, and I have them too. Maybe my character needs work. I've been in a situation all this week at work where a fellow employee, I shared it with my wife, that he's just been on me and on me. I prayed a prayer I've never prayed. I said, God, I don't know what I'm doing wrong within my heart, my character, my attitude, and my behavior. As I worked on this all week, please help me, forgive me. Whatever I've done to this person, because I know I haven't done anything. But sometimes we don't know, but it's in there. Like a long root that needs to be pulled out from your heart. Because that root will grow deep in your heart, and you start holding that bad character, attitude, and behavior towards people, and that root will go deep, and it's harder to get it out later on. Do it now. Seal the deal. Be the brick, not the powder for Jesus. Amen? If the worship team would come up. Our faith will falter because maybe our character needs work. See, our character are our thoughts, intentions, desires, and actions. Our character is our thoughts, intentions, desires, and actions. It's time to seal the deal, folks. You can stand with me, please. Yes, stand.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You